from KQED.
From KQED Public Radio, I'm Andrea Kissick. This week, KQED Science and Environmental Initiatives Quest and Climate Watch begin an occasional series, 33 by 20, California's Clean Energy Countdown. With its wind and solar resources, the state is known as a hotbed of renewable energy. Driving that development is an ambitious goal. By the year 2020, utilities must generate one-third of their electricity from renewable sources. But the road to clean energy is full of obstacles, which we will explore over the next several months. First, Lauren Summer reports on how we got here and the chances of meeting our big green power goals.
Thousands of wind turbines dot the rolling hills here at the Altamont Pass, just outside of Livermore. 30 years ago, this was one of the places where California's renewable energy legacy began, when Larry Barr arrived with the first wind turbine, built in his neighbor's garage.
Back then, they were small enough that we actually had a specially built trailer that we towed behind a van. You could load an entire wind turbine on it. And so we drove from Pennsylvania to California with this thing.
Altamont became one of the first large-scale wind farms in the country. But at the time, it wasn't exactly a mainstream idea.
You'd meet somebody and they'd ask you what you do for a living. And you say, well, I run a wind plant. What? And you'd explain the whole thing to them and it all just sort of, really, you know. Today, everyone knows exactly what you're talking about.
That's because renewable energy has taken center stage in the state, especially for one particular elected official.
When I took office, the law, of course, required our utilities to deliver 20% of this renewable energy by the year 2017. And I said we can do better than that. And of course,
3 years ago, Governor Arnold Schwarzenegger shortened the timeline, committing utilities to get 20% of their electricity from renewables such as solar, geothermal, and wind by the end of this year. It's an ambitious goal. And now the question is, will we make it?
Probably not.
Julie Fitch is the Energy Division Director for the California Public Utilities Commission, the agency overseeing the renewable goal.
We'll get really close. We're projecting that by the end of this year, 2010, we'll be at about 18.5%, and by 2011, that we'll be fully there.
Thanks to a 3-year grace period, utilities won't be penalized for being a year or two late. But it does put them behind. That's because last fall, the governor set an even more aggressive goal, 33% renewable by 2020. According to Fitch's agency, given our growing need for energy, it will require an unprecedented effort, at least a doubling of transmission lines and a doubling of renewable energy.
I think a lot of people have doubts about whether or not the utilities can do it. I'm in the camp that believes that it is feasible and doable, and we're working very hard to make sure it happens.
Tom Bottorff is a senior vice president at PG&E, one of the utilities responsible for getting all that renewable power on the grid. He says the company has signed more than 100 contracts with solar, wind, and geothermal developers.
But we're concerned whether all those projects that we've contracted with will actually come online. It's been a tough economy.
In most cases, it's up to developers to find the financing to build solar and wind farms, which has been hard to come by since the economic downturn. They've had some help recently from the federal stimulus funding.
That's been critical, and we're very thankful that those opportunities are available.
Bottorff says the other challenge is California's complex permitting process. Since many solar and wind projects cover hundreds of acres in environmentally sensitive areas, developers must navigate local, state, and federal agencies for permission to build, which can be a tricky process.
I would probably describe it as painful and torturous and highly complicated.
Michael Picker is the governor's senior advisor for renewable energy facilities.
The reality is each one of the projects that we permit this year will immediately become the largest in the world. People are having to learn how to actually manage these projects through the pipeline.
Picker says the governor's office is committed to speeding up the drawn-out permitting process, which will help put the 33% goal in reach. But even with the governor's help, a number of major obstacles remain, like where to build new transmission lines and concerns about the impact of solar and wind farms on wildlife.
What we're trying to do is extremely ambitious in California.
Peter Miller is a senior scientist with the Natural Resources Defense Council, an environmental group in San Francisco. He says California's renewable goals aren't just about energy. For one, they're key to reaching the state's landmark global warming law to cut greenhouse gas emissions a quarter by 2020. Their significance also goes beyond state borders.
California has always been a leader on energy and environmental efforts, and this the RPS program is no exception.
Over 30 states have renewable energy goals, though California's is one of the most aggressive. That means many states are watching how California does, both its progress and its missteps. For Quest, I'm Lauren Sommer, KQED Radio News.
See an interactive map of how California's renewable energy goals compare to other states. Go to kqed.org/33by20.
Major funding for Quest is provided by the National Science Foundation, with additional support from the Dirk and Charlene Cabsonell Foundation.